Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, October 12th, 2020. And we had an interesting close on Friday with another extension of the risk on rally. It seems the market in a pretty positive mood here. It looks like the market seems very hopeful that we will see another US stimulus deal, although that was not forthcoming over the weekend as the two sides are in a bit of a standoff. Trump suddenly willing to go much bigger than many of his Republican senator counterparts are interested in doing, but the latest offer of 1.8 trillion was re rejected by Pelosi, the House Democratic leader. I think some of the provisions in there all along on state and local aid have been a sticking point, as well as some virus-specific measures that apparently she deemed insufficient. So we'll see, but the market clearly seems to be very hopeful. And as you can see on slide one, we're seeing the S&P getting into the last bits of resistance. In fact, the highest weekly close is only about 0.5% above the level we're trading at this morning in the US. And by the way, it is a US holiday, banking holiday today, but the equity market will be open. So if you're wondering why later on you're seeing bond prices not moving, but the equity market futures are. We're a skeleton crew here today, just myself and Ola Hansen on commodities. And Ola, with this sort of risk on sentiment, we're seeing a weaker dollar as well. I get the commodity complex clearly enjoying the conditions there as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they were in good mood on Friday, John, and continuing some of the recent trends. I'll say all three sectors put up some good performance last week. Obviously, there's a lot of focus right now on the agricultural space where we've seen the grains continue to raise higher. But we did see a move up in gold as well on Friday. We broke above this 1900 level and just trying now to establish some support up here, but clearly, as long as we continue to see the reflation focus with the Biden win increasingly looking certain, or more likely, let's just be cautious still. And the weaker dollar, as you mentioned, and also the hope for stimulus, that's really three key components taking it higher. So as you can see on slide four now, we're in this upward trending channel. It's $55 wide. The higher end of that, the upper end of that range is currently at 13 1938, so almost kind of let reach that level overnight, but potentially just expecting to maybe find some resistance towards that area. But we're for surely still in an uptrend, and the underlying demand from not only from speculators who added a small amount of futures contracts last week, but specifically more longer term investors using ETFs. We continue to see the holdings making new record highs. It reached 111.1 million ounces on Friday.
Yeah, and we're seeing with this a weaker dollar, the flip side of the risk sentiment, and we sort of crossed above some key levels. A little bit less clear in Eurodollar. It's a bit mushy, the various trigger points, but trading above 118 was a major achievement. It's a bit more clear in Aussie dollar, as you can see on slide two. That 72 area was a key sticking point as resistance, and that was a former range support. So that 72 level crossing above that. And the general mood here, I think it's sort of saying we've crossed into new territory here, and now we need to see the reality of some kind of stimulus deal, I would argue, to continue lower in the dollar, continue higher in risk sentiment. And let's not get too enthusiastic here. I mean, we're seeing some signs of froth, some of these very highly speculative green stock names, etc., are really just on an incredible roll, I guess. Again, like you said, pricing in higher odds of a Biden victory, perhaps. Generous government investment, whether the companies are will prove profitable or not seems to be secondary at the moment. So it's an interesting setup as we're going into, of course, within just a few weeks of this election. We don't have the stimulus deal yet, and we're about to kick off earnings season, as I'll cover in a moment. We have a breakdown of some of the key names reporting this week out of the US. Elsewhere in FX land, it's really interesting to see the news out of China overnight that it appears the Chinese authorities are, would like for the Chinese yuan, the Chinese currency, to slow its appreciation. We saw them removing a reserve ratio required by financial institutions that are interested in speculating against the yuan's fortune. So that was formerly at 20%. That was knocked down to 0%. It's more of a signal than maybe having any practical implication at the moment. But they also set the daily fix a bit weaker. than expected on the onshore yuan. And you can see on slide three that we've taken this exchange rate for the dollar CNH, the offshore tradable Chinese yuan, down to those lows of early 2019. So could prove a sticking point for a while. You can just see the sort of the quality and the persistence of that slide in the exchange rate since, let's call it last couple, a few months even, from well above 7 to the current level. So that, could also put a little bit of a damper on prospects for a weaker dollar if the signal succeeds in sort of calming markets for a while. It could certainly end the phase of the Chinese yuan appreciating in basket terms as sharply as it has in recent weeks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think on that basis we'll keep a close eye on some of these these commodities very dependent on demand from China. Something like copper has almost returned back to its highs following a quite a decent slump here over the past few weeks, just taking out some of the froth in the market. But it's back to almost the recent highs, and the currency movements there may have an impact. So that's definitely one we're watching. But another key market also where we found support from Chinese buying in recent months has been the oil market. But as you can see on slide five, we are literally trading sideways here between something like 43.5 to the upside on Brent, 39.5 on the downside. We're seeing a bit of weakness coming into the market as we start the new week. And actually, considering the news flow this morning, I would actually say it's doing quite well, if not really well, because it's all about increased supply. The Hurricane Delta has passed, not inflicting any damage on infrastructure, so production can return to from the Gulf. We're seeing a strike in Norway that was ended on Friday, and also news from Libya that their biggest field, which has a capacity of 300,000 barrels a day, is in the process of reopening as well. So we are faced with a Monday morning with supply news supporting it, potentially the weaker dollar. OPEC Plus staying away from increasing production in January. They need to take a decision when they meet in a month's time. And then again the whole reflation trade, if there is increased demand for commodities from an inflationary perspective. So it's holding well, but for now we are, and I think for the foreseeable future we will be stuck in this range, as you can see on slide five.
Yeah, and then on the grains, I mean, it really is the grain market, at least in my mind, that is really shaking up the commodity space and also shaking up potentially the outlook for inflation, particularly for, I would imagine, emerging in frontier markets here. Take us through the latest, what we're looking for from the grain market this week.
Absolutely, John. I think there's really only one thing to keep an eye on this week. That's the weather, and especially in South America, where dry weather is keeping we're coming into their spring, so obviously they are busy trying to get their seeds in the ground, and that is for now been delayed, especially the soybean production. And it comes at a time where the latest WASDE World Agriculture Supply and Demand report from Friday basically highlighted that the stock levels in the U.S. now has dropped to a five-year low. And just remember, we had record bulging stocks just, 18 months ago. But since then, obviously, China has come in as a very, very strong buyer. And we've also seen weather this summer reducing the eventual crop production. So it's almost a perfect storm right now, where the demand is strong and supply is weaker. That will be the focus. And as you can see, I put in the soybean chart here on slide six, and we have reached a quite decent level of support resistance here at $1,080 a bushel. You can see that's previous highs as well back in 2017 and 2018. But really, we are dealing with a multi-year high here. So, but that level will be I think the key this week. In addition to this, a rallying market obviously does attract speculators, and we have also seen that in the grain markets. I've put an insert there, which is the net long position held across the six major futures contracts that's traded in the grain and soy sector. And we reached the highest level last week, I believe, since 2014. 67% of the net length is held in the soybean complex. So that's really where the where the speculative bid is concentrated right now. But also, don't forget wheat. Again, the Ukraine, as parts of Russia, they have again very dry weather, and again they're struggling getting the winter wheat into the ground. And obviously, that it needs to settle and needs to get started before the winter arrive in earnest. So again, some worries about a downgrade to Russian and Ukraine wheat production.
As well, you mentioned South American weather there, and we have this La Nina climate phenomenon. Not that we're meteorologists or experts, but it's a very strong year. And I think, is it not South America that sees some of the most dramatic disruptions in their weather from this phenomenon?
South America can experience dry weather, and it looks like we're already starting to see that. Some of the numbers that they're basically measuring the temperature and the sea surface across the equator, and we can clearly see on the numbers that the temperatures have dropped compared to recent years, and it's what's creating this La Nina phenomenon. So dry weather in South America, potentially more wet as we get further north, but it looks like we are already starting to see signs of it.
Now, I just wanted to briefly, I don't have any slides on this, briefly mention that we have a important Brexit deadline coming up October 15th, so Thursday, at least the self-imposed deadline from Boris Johnson on a Brexit, post-Brexit transition period deal. There was some phone calls and exchanges over the weekend between Johnson and his counterparts in France and Germany, and they're still locking horns on this fisheries issue, which Johnson says really has to be moved if there's going to be any sort of deal. So the market seems extremely complacent. And we even saw some a Bank of England headline out this morning talking about the need for preparing for negative rates if necessary. And sterling is just trading on the highs here versus both the dollar and versus the euro. So the market really looking for a breakthrough. And I think it could, of course, move further to the upside. Sterling could on that headline. But we certainly need to see that headline, at least some sort of agreement in principle or sufficient agreement to continue further negotiations, because maybe one or two parts of the key sticking points has seen a breakthrough. Whatever that combination is, we're set up for needing that headline this week and basically by Thursday. And then I just wanted to flag an FT article discussing new moves potentially by EU against the big tech. So read, when you say big tech, the U.S. monopolies, basically looking at a new Digital Services Act with proposals out as early as early December, discussing about how to deal with these companies, and especially issues like data sharing, not just sort of punitive fines and things like that, which have clearly not really impacted these companies much over the last few years, but more alterations in how they're, dealing with data and how this could alter their business models and, of course, profitability, not to mention maybe moves to deal with taxation issues, et cetera. Just keep on top of this issue. I think it's a really key issue for these big companies, from Apple to Alphabet, Facebook, et cetera. And check out that article if you have a FT subscription. Now, moving to U.S. earnings, we are getting kicking off U.S. earnings season in earnest today. We have the major U.S. Banks reporting this week. I've got a little rundown on slide 7, just a very brief overview of those. You can see J.P. Morgan is up tomorrow together with Citigroup. J.P. Morgan is sort of the, of course, the number one bank in the U.S., but the more interesting perhaps, or just as interesting perhaps, is on Wednesday, Wells Fargo, more of a Main Street bank, and it's really been a laggard in this cycle relative to the stock market broadly, because also concerns about insolvencies and impaired loans on the Main Street level. So interesting to watch that contrast and to see what they're seeing on the ground here, what their outlook is, as we're talking about, how long can some of these smaller and medium-sized enterprises sort of maintain profitability or maintain solvency when the stimulus, initial stimulus push has run out and we're still in doubt on the second rounds, et cetera, of that stimulus. So we'll be watching that. You can see from that overview on slide 7, there are a couple of other interesting points, like the airlines starting with Delta tomorrow, but also United on Wednesday. And then getting to the calendar, Again, it's a U.S. bank holiday. Equity market is open. We have a couple of central bankers out speaking today. I'm not going to cover much on that. For the highlight of the week, I would just pull out the U.S. CPI tomorrow, whether that's bolstering anything we're seeing in the bond market. We've seen the U.S. yields coming to life a bit recently and crossing above key levels in the case of the 30-year yield at 1.5% as recently as last week. So we'll be watching for sensitivity there. That really starts to change the playing field across markets if U.S. long yields are rising. And we've pretty much emphasized that quite strongly in recent podcasts. So we'll be watching definitely the long yields in the U.S. as well as earnings season this week. And then we have an EU summit starting on Thursday. This was supposed to be the summit that might see some key Brexit things shaping up, but we're still in doubt on whether that's going to be able to be addressed at this summit. But watch for that, as well as any political signals on stimulus and otherwise through Thursday and Friday with that summit. I think we'll call it a day for today, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call for today. Thanks for joining.